All right, welcome to the Three Easy Peas podcast. I am Matt.
I am Beezer.
And I'm Roger.
All right, we are going to be talking about three subjects that somehow correlate in some fashion or manner. Today, I'm going to be talking a little bit about Scientology, especially David Miscavige's father, a book I just read. The name escapes me right now. But just a little bit about that. And what are you going to be talking about tonight, Matt?
I'm going to be talking about just a question in my head of whether or not civilizations are doomed to always just sort of crumble or fail.
I like crumble, like apple crumble.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Or like a peach crumble. Is that like a peach cobbler? Is an apple crumble the same as... Oh, no. That's the one that's got the... It's kind of caramelized, right?
Yeah. It's like a little like breadcrumbs.
I do prefer my civilization with a little bit of crumble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of crumble. Anyway, Roger, what the hell are you going to be talking about today?
I would like to discuss the Mandela effect. And it's one of those fringe science topics that just like, it's tinfoil hat time. So, I mean, I got to roll tinfoil. We're all going to need the hat soon.
All right. Awesome. Well, dude, that sounds fucking awesome. That actually sounds pretty fucking interesting.
I'm totally interested. I hate apartheid, and I was so glad when it ended.
All right, so let's start with that one. What the fuck is this phenomenon that you're talking about?
Okay, now this gets deleted from Wikipedia periodically, so you can't really look it up. You have to go into like, I guess it would be like conspiracy theory websites would be the best ones to find it.
Of course,
yes, particularly
it's a conspiracy, everybody.
Particularly the 4chan thread for paranormal occurrences. And that's where you'll find the most information about this. Now, the Mandela effect is named after Nelson Mandela.
Oh, so I was right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
when were you right? We never talked about this.
Apartheid. I was right about apartheid.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the Nelson Mandela effect is that there are two sets of people: one who has a memory of Nelson Mandela dying in prison, and the others who have a memory of Nelson Mandela becoming president and then dying.
Oh my God.
So
I'm one of those.
So you have the memory of him dying in prison, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so Matt?
No, because I'm mostly disconnected from like everything.
Yeah.
Wait, you're clear on who
you
Mandela
saw the movie.
Is.
Yeah, I know who Mandela is.
Okay, we're there at least.
You saw the movie with Morgan Freeman, right?
Yeah. That's how I know who he is. No, I'm just no, I know who he is. But just so you know, like, I had a friend who recently, broke up with a boyfriend like 6 months ago, and I just found out about it today. She's been talking about it on Facebook, apparently, and I was just like, oh, I didn't read the post.
So, but did she end in a particular apartheid anywhere?
Oh, no.
Well, then.
I'm sorry, I was just saying that's how.
How does that fucking work?
Okay, so.
Go fuck yourself, Bees. You know, this was a fucking mistake from the goddamn beginning.
Now, so the effect is that there are people with different memories. Now, how does that happen? It's a historical fact. He became president and then died.
Right. Oh, so he is dead.
Or is he dead?
Oh, shit.
No, he's dead, man.
No, he's dead, right? He dies at the end of the movie. He died, like, the movie came out, and then he died.
Wait. Did he die because of the movie? What are we talking about?
No, he died, like, shortly after the movie was made, and it's like, great, now we have an ending for the movie. So... Yeah, I'll let you look that up. But no, he's dead. He died because I remember the movie came out. He was still alive, and then he died. And then somebody was like made a joke about how the movie went like really tried hard to find an ending. But okay, so the theory is that there are alternate worlds that have merged or alternate timelines that have converged or merged. And so there are two sets of people from different realities that are commingled now for some reason. Some people have even gone so far to associate it with the firing of the Large Hadron Collider.
Oh, shit.
And then someone even like plotted a timeline in which every time it's been fired off, they've linked historical effect or historical things that people have different memories about. And so
what?
Yeah, so that was like when they were doing like similar experiments around that time. That's when the Nelson Mandela thing happened in the early 90s.
Now, you'd said before that this also applied to Berenstain Bears, right?
Oh, God, okay, yeah. So please don't get him started on this. Okay.
Okay,
yeah,
so the book.
We're going to go, I guess.
Yeah.
Berenstain or Berenstein?
Are you looking at me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh, okay. It's the Berenstain Bears.
Berenstain, okay.
See, and I always thought it was the Berenstain Bears.
Okay, he's right. It's Berenstain. It's not Stein or Stein.
Yeah, I still, you know, my only thing is it's cool, and, you know, I'm sure you can always find things to connect, but, dude, misinformation has always been an issue. Dude, like, you know,
okay.
My father would say asinine shit to me when I was a kid. And when I grew up, I was like, that's... like silly old man crazy talk.
Okay.
Like he doesn't know anything. He didn't know anything. He's probably heard it at work or something.
Okay. The actor Rip Torn, is he alive?
Yeah.
He's dead.
See?
The dude from Men in Black, right?
Yes.
He did.
He is not dead. He is alive.
What? No, he's not. He's dead. I remember when he died.
Yeah, because he's an alcoholic. And I
thought
I had the memory of him dying too. But he's still alive.
No,
what if he
almost died and his heart
stopped? So technically he died for a second, and that's how they reported it. But everybody always said, Rip Torn's dead. People don't always get the whole story.
Yeah.
Now, he's not the one that throws the confetti out of his pockets, right?
No, that's Rip Taylor.
All right, so
Rip Taylor
is alive because I remember seeing him recently on television. But Rip Torn is dead. I remember them doing his tribute at the Oscars. No, are you telling me? I'm going to look it up. I got to be
No, I had to look it up, too, because I have a memory of him dying in 2010.
Okay. Well, again, misinformation.
All right. So just to, like, you know, reinforce, you know, what you're saying, like, seriously, you know how most things when you Google them, the first thing that's going to come up is their Wikipedia entry.
Right.
It's nowhere up there. Like, there's no – it's like when I instant search is, like, debunking the Mandela effect and a couple other entries for, you know, conspiracy websites, but you –
what,
Mandela
effect?
It's not coming up like right now. Rip Torn is like, first entry is IMDb, second one is Wikipedia. And there was no Wikipedia easily accessible from the first search page with the Mandela effect. So
No, it's not.
Oh, my gosh. It doesn't exist on our Wikipedia yet.
Wikipedia throws it out because it's just a fringe conspiracy.
I know, but
theory.
Dude, they don't always cite their sources on that shit.
There's no source to cite.
Okay, well, like, that's what I'm saying, dude. Misinformation. People don't fucking pay attention enough.
Well,
you pay attention to headlines. You don't pay attention to the story.
I wouldn't blame people's lack of attention. I would blame the, like, massive amount of information we get now. I mean, I would seriously blame that more than people just aren't paying attention. I mean, come on, dude. What's the number that we're supposed to have built in? Like 150 people, and that's all we can keep track of?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, relationships. You're talking about, like, the primate, the maximum number of relationships that they think the primate brain can handle.
Oh, yeah, we can only handle, like, 150 relationships, so,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm trying to say is if you've ever played the fucking game Telephone, you know how talking from one person to the next changes everything.
Right.
All because it's a little whisper in an ear, and all of a sudden they heard something they didn't, you know, actually hear.
Well,
to
reinforce what you were saying about your dad, though, you also get, like, these pockets of sort of reinforcing misinformation, you know, like middle school or, you know, elementary school, where I remember we'd come to school and, you know, when I was in school, and we'd talk about, like, Nintendo bullshit, and people would be making up shit about, like, oh, yeah, on Mario Brothers, you can get to the 16th level where you turn into Metroid, and, like, really? No, you fucking liar. But there was no internet then, so you can, like, really double check that.
Or
shit.
Like, you know, like, what's his name, sucking a bunch of dicks and having to get a stomach pump.
Dude, I was a fucking...
Was that one of the...
Rod Stewart.
Oh, I thought it was a Backstreet Boy.
Yeah, see, it changes. Someone else...
No, it was a Backstreet
Boy,
Well,
what
too.
About the whole, like, gerbil...
No.
Richard
Gere. Richard
Gere thing.
Yeah.
Is that true? Or did that happen in a different universe?
As far as I know, it's true. But, I mean, then again, I only know it's true because there's so many jokes about it.
Right.
You
so it must
I mean?
Be true because of the coefficient of jokes made about it?
Pretty much.
Right.
Maybe it's one of those things that somebody was trying to fuck Richard Gere and said, I'm just going to leak this and see what happens. And the poor guy was like, oh, no, it was just supposed to be a joke. Like, I'm just going to walk away. You know what I mean?
You know, if I was Richard Gere. Actually, you know what? If I was Richard Gere, I wouldn't be having this conversation with you guys right now. But if I was.
Because he's too classy stoop to this level.
Yeah,
he is.
I would be walking down the red carpet one day and I would just have a gerbil in my front pocket. just to fuck with people. Just a little gerbil in my front pocket and be like, take it out. Oh, that's where he went. Just pet it.
What is it? There was I hate the show. What is it? I hate the
Family
show.
Guy.
Like, no, it's the How I Met Your Mother. A fucking the most annoying fucking show there is. But at one point, what is it? They were talking about hate songs, and they had Dave Coulier on, and he's always like, why does everybody think these songs are about me?
Oh,
you know, because the Alanis Morissette bullshit.
Right.
Yeah, but see, he's got a good sense of humor of himself. Like,
yeah, but we don't know. We don't know if it's really about him at all.
Well, I think I heard that the one part of the song, like in my reality, one part of the song was about Dave Coulier. I think it was like the down on him in the theater part.
Okay, well, here's the deal. How did you hear it?
I heard it from this guy named Nelson Mandela.
No. How did you hear it? Somebody told you about it? You even remember how you heard it?
No, I mean, it was probably maybe a radio thing. You're like driving to work and like, hey, Alanis Morissette,
exactly.
Dave Coulier.
But now in your mind, that has become fact.
Right.
And now we have a fucking, your next time somebody brings up whatever the fuck, what's her name? You're going to be like, oh yeah, she wrote that song about. Yeah.
It's like the Mr. Rogers was a sniper thing.
I love that idea.
He's not a sniper.
Aww.
But you know who's who silently was one of the biggest killers who was also a TV show host?
Who?
Mr. Wizard. He used to fly B-52 bombers over
Italy.
He bombed the shit out of Italy. It probably killed hundreds of people.
I love that show.
Yeah, he's a Canadian. But yeah, so it's like they got it totally wrong.
Mr. Wizard.
The whole time they're blaming Mr. Rogers, Mr. Wizard.
Okay, well, I
mean,
I kind of buy that though, because Mr. Rogers was all about kindness and understanding.
He was
Mr. Wizard was like, this is how you do things in real life, children.
He was a conscious.
This is science. These are the consequences of reality.
He was a conscious objector, Mr. Rogers. I think his family's like were Quakers,
like a Mennonite or something.
Or Presbyterians or
right.
something. And he was a music major, and he was in the army, but he was in like the music corps.
Really?
Yeah. So like he would like go and entertain troops and shit. That's why he was always so interested.
That totally fixes PTSD, by the way.
Yeah.
That's why there was so much cool jazz on fucking on Mr. Rogers and shit like that, and like he had Bruce Hack.
No, it was
yeah,
a really
like,
hip show.
Yeah,
hey,
I watched that fucking
hip.
Show. Yeah, hey everybody, I have a friend here. Now I'm gonna do voices and puppets.
No, what got me was the one puppet, the female puppet, the one with the big schnoz.
Yeah,
Missy Vaughn is that the
yeah.
I don't know if that was the name.
No, that was the woman. No, it was like
that was from
Henrietta.
Henrietta, yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
What does this have to do with your fucking effect?
We're just, you know what? Well, okay, so to bring it back to the whole Mandela thing. You remember, what's the one episode of Next Generation?
Uh-oh.
All right, where the Darmok, where the one he meets the one alien and he speaks all in idioms.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
I love that episode.
And
well, I don't
so
love that episode, but they played it every all the time.
Right. Well, I mean, I like the idea of it because, like, you know, we in
Tomok, his arms opened.
Right, and like you didn't understand the language, like the language translated, but you didn't get it because you didn't get the context, right? And so, you know, everything is context for us. So you talk about like what's real and what's not real. You know, was Mandela, you know, from your frame of reference, alive or dead before he became president? You know, was it Berenstein? Was it Berenstain?
But okay,
did Superman 3 actually end up being a better movie in your world as opposed to mine?
No, but what is it? I mean, if you even think about, if we take it a little deeper, if you look at religion, and I'm by no means, if you're a spiritual person, that is your absolute right. But at the same time, you have to admit that some of these people have been told since they were kids by authoritative figures,
right? Well, oh yeah, well you're talking about a whole different reality. In my opinion, I mean, I'm like spiritual, but I'm not religious.
Yeah, and then they
like
people don't even read the Bible anymore.
Right. Well, but I mean, but they don't have to because it's given to them, and they.
I would just like
go to church
to meet a girl that just is like, I'm religious but not spiritual. Just like.
That's like being the people who are like really Catholic, but only because like the ritual.
Oh
of it,
yeah,
you know?
Catholic
yeah.
girls. That's
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah, no, you're religious but not spiritual. Like you do the thing and you go through the motions and.
You know when that
I mean, I don't know that's probably really offensive to somebody who's devoutly Catholic.
What is well, actually, that kind of brings me around to
I saw a guy wearing a rosary today. That was funny.
What? Okay, You're not supposed to wear the rosary around, right?
It's no, like a, it's just prayer beads.
You see them on people's rearview mirror, and I'm like, what the fuck? Are you going to do your Hail Marys while driving? I think that's splitting your attention a little bit.
People use it as a symbol of good luck. Oh. How people worship, though, is their own business.
True.
But
that's what brings us kind of around to the Scientology thing.
Oh, nice.
Good segue.
So, you know, thanks for pointing out. I really worked hard. Anyway,
That was a nice crafted segue there by Matt. He just brought that right over.
Thank you.
I mean, we hardly even saw it. It's almost like they had a butler walking in the background. That's lovely.
So, what is it? Reading this book, I've read now a couple books on people who have escaped from Scientology. And what I've learned is that Scientology, just like any religion, actually isn't bad. I mean, L. Ron Hubbard did lie a lot.
Right.
He did steal from other people's. But at its heart, besides the normal brainwashy shit that any organized religion can do.
Right.
What is it? It's actually not bad right now. It's just being headed up by a real big asshole who's actually kind of scary and Hitler-like.
And this is not Tom Cruise.
No, well, kind of is. Tom Cruise, right. And it's David Miscavige, who's known as the chairman of the board, the COB, or SOB in our case. Right?
What a dick.
He was never really rightfully appointed to be in charge. He just kind of swooped in after getting into a particular place where he could assume power.
See, now what I heard was that it was actually Miscavige who was able to obtain all six of the Infinity Gems and fit them into the gauntlet. They gave him the true power over Scientology, right?
It's pretty much that way verbatim. Yes, sir. How did you know? What is it? His father's book is actually not bad. It's really anticlimactic, so, like, don't read it. But, you know, at one point he talks about, so at one point I had to turn left, and then I just pressed the gas, and I left. And that was, like, the end. That was his escape. There was no, like, craziness.
No snipers.
No, nothing. But, I mean, it was interesting to hear how people have been basically, like, all the barbed wire on this area was actually put towards inside so people couldn't get out.
Right.
They didn't keep it so people couldn't get in.
Dude, I find it, like, so incredibly interesting that for an organization that, like, they are so opposed to psychotherapy and psychiatry as, like, a thing, that, like, they play such huge fucking mind games. They are, like, so, I mean, they have, like, all the sort of culty tricks down, you know, like, the way they make each other, like, you know, they go to a confession that they tape record, and then archived, you know, and then you're, like, encouraged to rat on each other. I mean, it's like all the best parts of, like, a crazy cult and, like, a crazy, like, you know, red state sort of, you know, USSR.
Yeah, but, I mean, dude, in my mind, just because I've seen, like, Mormonism and all this other stuff, it's just kind of like, okay, well, that's, you know, good luck, guys. Like, I hope you don't get locked in a room somewhere.
Hey, man, we're just talking about one, but I think it could be easily applied to any number of, you know, kooky, you know, religions, which is all.
Well, yeah, and they even have, I mean, I've watched documentaries on private cults where it's just, like, a group that the whole church consists of, like, 6-7 people.
Right.
But in order to, like, worship the Lord, they have to, like, stab themselves to, like,
I like the cults where the guy that's in charge just gets to bang all the girls. That's the kind
didn't
of
didn't he do that in the, didn't the Branch Davidian didn't he like
oh yeah that was David there? David Koresh or Koresh,
yeah,
right Koresh. Yeah he was banging all the girls.
He was raping
Charles Manson, right? Banging all the girls.
That was a, well, I guess it was a cult.
Yeah.
Did he have a religious thing?
Oh yeah, who was supposed to be like the Antichrist and shit.
Oh
yeah.
So. You know, it almost,
didn't know that.
It's so weird because, you know, if you think about it, as a priest, you really want to believe everything you have to say.
Right.
So you do believe everything you're preaching. But at some point, once you get high up, I guess you get, I mean, corruption is inevitable.
Oh, yeah. The bishop in Germany, the billion-dollar bishop or whatever they call him, who built the huge, like, he built himself a personal, you know, residence that cost, like, millions of dollars, and they haven't, like, excommunicated him from the Pope Club, but, you know, he's definitely on, you know,
the Pope Club.
He's on, like, no duty right now. I mean, he's in trouble, but like, I mean, total, you know, misappropriations of his church money. I mean, for his personal residence. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, that's horrible. But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
What do you put somebody in charge, and then they start feeling, well, wait a minute.
Right.
I have the right now because this is, you know,
right.
This is for you want me to be happy, and if I'm happy, I'll teach, you know.
Yeah. Oh, you talk about like the Creflo Dollar. The dude was in the news recently for he wanted to he preached like he's one of these prosperity ministers, and he was trying to get a new what's a private jet, like a, you know, like a
Lear,
like a Lear jet, something or other. Yeah. Yeah. So he wanted like the money for this Lear jet, and I think he was even gonna like GoFundMe or some, you know, some shit like that, you know, to try and get it. When he didn't get it through his ministry, you know, enough money from that, he was gonna also do a GoFundMe. But anyway, it was in the news like a year or so ago. But yeah, it's the same thing. We're like, well, I guess it's not the same thing as Miscavige, but you know, it's another person using an ideology to, you know,
force their will and he's using their money to finance his, I mean,
personal goals.
Right. Yeah. Everything, his food, his dress, everything.
You know, okay. So,
hey,
not
those
to devolve.
Turtlenecks don't buy themselves.
You're goddamn right. And he can wear the shit out of a turtleneck, motherfucker. Let me tell you something.
Are we talking about Cruz?
No, I'm talking about David Miscavige.
Bro. He wears a lot of turtlenecks too. Is that where Tom Cruise gets it?
No, actually, we just made it up, but now you thought it.
I did.
See how the idea just passed?
That's how fucking the Mandela effect happens.
Mandela.
Did you just break reality? Like, can you do it in reverse? Like, by you breaking reality, have you now caused the large hard-on collider to turn on?
Only if the other two listeners...
Hadron, not hard-on.
Dude,
collider.
I can't
say it
without
collide hard-ons.
Dude, I can't...
Yeah, you can. It's called docking. I just want to be straight there.
These are trying to put subliminal messages into our minds. Like, hey, we should totally donk. We should like
dock. It's dock.
No, we should bang our donks against each other.
It's not a sex act if you just rub your dicks together. It's just like a thing.
No, it's not like rubbing. We gotta collide them. We're gonna donk, donk.
We're just gonna see if we can make a boson. That's all.
You ever seen the boson?
Right, that's okay. What it was going after, right? The David Miscavige particle.
The Miscavige particle. By the way, you don't be surprised if they start knocking on your door there.
No, they don't do the door-to-door stuff.
No, I mean, like, to murder Roger, because, like, we've talked blasphemous.
Thou shalt not speak about the church.
We're suppressive people now. We're
right.
SPs, bro.
Right.
And, dude, I've been watching... Watch a lot, dude. Tom Cruise's shit, where he's like, "We're gonna change the world" and all this stuff. I'm like, "You're scaring me, Tom. I want to like you. I love a lot of."
Or you talking about the private video that got leaked of
their and even the interviews where they're actually it's Scientology, like, "Hey, yeah. we're this is what we're about," and he's just like going on, "Yeah, dude.
You know, you could fly if you believe in this."
And it's just like, "Please stop, dude." I read one story where they were talking about how. They wouldn't touch his kid, and they would just – they thought it was the reincarnation of L. Ron Hubbard. That's Suri, by the way. And they
– What?
Yeah. And they had it in a bathroom floor while – what is it? The mom was not allowed to – Tom Cruise's sister took care of it. It was like, read the story. It's whatever.
This is
the
Katie
lower.
What's her name? Katie Holmes? Who, by the way, I don't know if you guys see this or not, but Katie Holmes – and once I tell you this, you will not be able to unsee it. Like her bilateral symmetry on her face is shifted like off by like a minuscule coefficient. So it's like her face is symmetrical, but like one side is lower than the other, and it's the craziest thing. And once you see it, you will never unsee it. I keep hitting this wire. I'm sorry about
that. Yeah, you should not do that.
All right. Well,
pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
All right. So that.
No, I really want to see this man behind the curtain.
Pay no attention to David Miscavige.
You and Miscavige.
Okay, so I will say that, like, in general, I've got a big O hard on or hate boner for, like, the, you know, hucksters, religious hucksters in general. And the reason I do, because it's, like, the biggest, like, most dishonest con there is. And because it unfairly targets the people who are, you know, vulnerable to it, who don't need to have their fucking money fleeced from them.
You know, right. You're right. But at the same time, a fool and his money are soon parted.
I was about to say the same thing.
So yeah. If they weren't doing it, somebody else would be gassing.
No, I'm just saying that. I mean, at the same time, like, if it makes them feel better,
yeah,
you know what I mean. I would like to say, hey, do you know what you're doing?
Right.
And have them go, oh, I had no idea. Thank you, citizen. You saved me money. But at some point, they're going to do something else. Dude, I deal with a lot of stupid people. There's a lot of stupid people in this world.
Which brings me to my subject. Are we doomed in society or societies in general to, you know, collapse due to perhaps stupid people, or, you know, is there something inherent about, you know, the size? I don't know if you've ever heard about it, but there was, like, they've done these experiments with rats and, like, these colony of rats.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the size, they've, like, much in the same way about the primate brain, you know, how many different relations a primate brain can have. Like, they increase these colonies of rats, you know, size among size, and they have enough, you know, food to sustain themselves and everything. And they are a little bit crowded, but they get them bigger and bigger, and to the point where, like, the rats, like, they don't do normal rat behavior. They lose interest in... rat babies.
The acts of homosexuality increase.
Really?
Yeah, that's one of the things that Christians love to jump on.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they'll never go out behind behavioral sciences because it disproves religion. But it does. It's like Mother Nature being like, okay, too many of you, gay.
Right.
That'll fix it. It's like,
that's so interesting. I don't know if you've ever read it, but there's an awesome book called The Forever War. And it's a, you know, it's similar to Heinlein's Starship Troopers, but in this one it's a similar thing, but it's like this war that just keeps going on, and from this soldier's point of view, who, because of, you know, flying over, you know, space travel over, you know, light years of distances, his time dilation makes him, you know, come back and forth to Earth, and every time he comes back, it's like 100 years
later,
200
yeah.
years later, and every time society's vastly different, and like the first time he comes back, the norm isn't heterosexuality, it's homosexuality. And so, you know, in this book that was written in the 70s, you know, think of what the opinions of society was, you know,
of
homosexuals. And that's how they looked upon, you know, the breeders. And everybody was homosexual. And that was the norm. And it was, you know, obviously it wasn't like told in such a way in the story that it was like, you know, look at this juxtaposition of viewpoints. You must change your idea. It was really well presented. But interesting in that, like, you know,
like
it reflects what you were saying about, like, the, you know, population pressures. Could that, you know, perhaps?
Well, I think it's just a matter of, like, it just logic. It's just like, if, you know, you get this, you know, entity, you get this entity of a civilization, it's like one organism,
right?
And if it starts getting too big, it's going to try to minimize its, like, actual size,
right?
So
some kind of homeostasis, right?
Yeah, it's going to self-correct by. Mm-hmm. You know, not populating as much. That's why you have all these, like, 20, 30-something-year-olds who don't want kids,
right.
too. That's the other answer. You just have these
and
people.
And like I said, the rats didn't want to procreate either. You know, and so it's like, yeah, they just wanted – the rats just wanted to, you know, chill out and live with their parent rats.
Play video games.
Play rat Xbox and
hug rat pillows shaped like rat anime characters.
Have rat waifus. Yeah.
They have
yeah.
that – what is it? what are those fucking stones in Georgia or Atlanta or some shit like that?
Oh yeah, I've actually been to those.
What is this?
I forgot what they're called, but they're these four stones, and it just has these rules for the New World Order.
New World Order, but it's written in every language, and basically it says a bunch of stuff that actually in general is good, like be kind to each other, do this. But at the end, it says there should only be like 500,000 people.
500 million.
500 million.
Yeah, no more.
Like
in the world.
Population.
Yeah,
and that it specifically says that population control. Is one of the most, you know, birth and all that stuff is mm-hmm. very important to, like, you can't just do it willy-nilly.
It makes sense. In the 90s, abortion was just, like, super easy to do. And crime shot down in the 90s because
right.
of that. It just shot down. And it's like, oh, there's not unwanted pregnancies
right.
and births and
right.
people.
Nobody's pulling up a gas station to feed their kids.
Well, I mean, not only, okay, so yeah, but it also, you know, being able to control, you know, a woman being able to control her reproductive cycle allows her to also, you know, pick herself up, you know, economically. You know, she can get a job. She
same
can,
with the male, though.
You know, well,
it's not
absolutely,
even just the
no, but
the
but,
woman,
but
the male can
right, but she's the one who's more tied to the, you know, statistically more tied to having a
of
woman
course,
child, right?
Yeah, because she's
has
women
to carry
tend
it.
Not to abandon their children as much as men do.
Right,
that's what it really comes down to. But, I mean, eventually. It corrects itself, and that's what happens with civilization. Eventually, gets too big to sustain itself,
right? And just goes kaboom,
and it corrects
so
itself.
So it's a thing that you think happens. It's a cycle.
Well, if we were gonna go conspiracy theory on this, not Atlantis, brother. Atlantis was what is it? Some of the stories talk about how it was an
right.
advanced society,
right?
That basically collapsed on itself because it was doing. Too much.
Pushing the limits.
But pushing the limits.
Yeah, I mean, how much is that like a parable, you know, that gets told, like, you know, you young kids don't you know, don't you try to be too progressive with your ideas, or sink like Atlantis.
It's not the progressive. I mean, I mean, of course, just like any
other. Well,
it's
an abstraction. They abstract, like, you know, you're trying to change society with, like, some kind of, you know, bauble that, you know, you create the time machine and it will change everything.
Well, I mean, like, right now we're going through an area where we have rich people pretty much making our decisions.
Right.
I mean, think about it. We live in a two-party
system.
Right.
It's an oligarchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what is it, you know? And basically, these people are in deciding how we live and
right. Who
dies and who's worth saving and who's not, you know.
Right.
And so at some point, you know, I mean, do you think maybe they are right?
Right.
Or are they, you know, I mean.
Well, I mean.
It sucks because their kids get to, you know, continue their legacy, but.
I always like to bring it back to my favorite thing. One of my favorite types of video games to play are the city simulators or the civilization simulators. There's like this game called Banished where you essentially have to like take like, you know, this group of people surviving in the wilds and like build a, you know, civilization. And, you know, part of the thing in it is population pressures. If your population grows too fast, then they all starve to death because, and then they, since they all start dying, then they can't make enough production to support the rest of them for the winter. And then boom, mass death, Roanoke, bye-bye. You know, so it's like, the population pressure is a thing. And I imagine that, you know, just like now, who was the dude? Was it Malthus? Or who's the guy who wrote the book about population pressure and food and stuff like that in the 19th century, you know, talking about?
I don't know. I know I was thinking about Gaia theory, though, earlier, and I forgot his name, too. I was trying to think of the guy that wrote the Gaia theory.
Oh, book. And that's like the idea that everything is sort of interconnected.
It's one giant organism, right. Yeah. But no, back to the Atlanta thing, though, it popped in my head. They were called the Guidestones.
The Guidestones.
Yeah. Yeah. The Atlanta Guidestones.
Well, actually,
it's like the Code of Hammurabi or something like that.
No, it's just the they can't figure out who paid to have them done. A construction company in Atlanta was paid to do them, and they put them up. This guy showed up. He had the money. He told them how to make them, told them how he wanted them made. Paid this construction company, they put him up, and then he disappeared.
So is the idea that they're going to, like, remain there for after, like, when civilization collapses and Kevin Costner shows up to be the postman, he's going to read these and...
Basically, that's what the hope was.
Right.
Yeah, it's new old order.
Well, that's, like, that harkens back to, you know, Asimov's, the Encyclopedia Galactica, you know, having a repository of knowledge for when society collapses so that it won't collapse totally and can rebuild itself. I mean... That's the Dark Ages, you know, so much information was lost because everybody got like, you know, I mean, how much did that stall civilization? There's that great graph that like shows like, you know, here was our, you know, the you know, progress that we were making, you know, in civilization and technology and the ability to support ourselves. And then everything like not only plateaus, but goes down during the next, you know,
the Dark Ages,
500 years, you know, and it's just like, oh, shit.
As a matter of fact, you know why the Renaissance happened, right?
Because the Dark Ages stopped?
No.
Yes, that is how.
The Renaissance happened because of the plague. The plague killed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And since there weren't so many assholes, people were able to sit around and read books because they weren't having to work so hard to sustain all the assholes.
Right.
So farmers found themselves with more time to do.
They become yeoman farmers, right?
Yes, and do artistic endeavors, and mm-hmm. people had more free time,
right,
to do things because we weren't under the pressure to sustain society because we were like reduced to like I think a fourth of the population at that point.
Right. Well, I mean, look at the last century. I mean, they had the what was it? The influenza right before World War One, and then World War Two.
World War Two killed a lot of people, and look mm-hmm. how much art came out of that, and how much advances in technology.
I mean, look at all those World War II movies. Those were...
Holy shit. I know, dude. Let me tell you, man. I'm sorry about the Holocaust, but if I have to watch another fucking Holocaust movie,
yeah.
Dude, there's like billions of them.
Well, I think that it's well-worn territory. I don't think that we need any more Schindler's List. I mean, I think Schindler's List was great. I mean...
No, dude, don't get me wrong. The Boy and the Striped Pajamas, good movies, but like, right. Dude, it's like, Jesus, like... Yeah. I'm really depressing myself every time I watch these movies. I'm not even responsible. You know what I mean? I wasn't even born yet.
Unless you're one of those conspiracy people that doesn't believe in the Holocaust.
Oh, my gosh.
That's always the Holocaust deniers. That's always the best.
That's a conversation killer. Like, I mean, seriously. Like, if we were, like, sitting here, we're like, yeah, those crazy Holocaust deniers. And somebody's like, well, I don't know. There's some doubts I have in my head. Like, oh, my God, change the subject. I have to go get, like, you know.
Prussian blue, man. Prussian blue.
Yeah, but then they started smoking weed, and then they were cool.
No, the dye, that's what that's a reference to, is the dye used in the gas chambers.
Oh, yeah.
And that's always the argument that there's no dye on the walls of Auschwitz.
Oh, I thought it was Cyclone B.
Or something, yeah, Cyclone B.
Cyclone B, yeah.
But Prussian blue is the color of Cyclone B, yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, all the people who, like, you know, deny things like the Holocaust or deny the whole moon landing, I mean... Or even, I mean, I'm sure at some point there'll be 9/11 deniers, you know, I mean. It just,
well, there's already conspiracies on that. Right. That was an inside job.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, there are conspiracies, but everybody knows that jet fuel can't melt steel beams.
Or why was the owner who was there every day never there that day? Or his daughter.
Right.
Or
who both had offices in the building, which is kind of if it's like. That is a good point.
Dick Cheney had a training exercise going on at the same time that dealt with the same exact scenario.
You know what?
Somewhere. I mean,
Cheney was on one of those flights, and he actually shot one of those pilots in the face.
Yeah. Do you remember when he shot someone in the face?
Yeah.
Oh, Dick.
And then the other dude apologized to him. Like, the dude he shot in the face, which is a friend of his. They were out hunting, and, like, the guy, like, apologized to him. I'm really sorry. My face got in the way of that buckshot.
Yeah, well, he probably paid him, like, hey, you do this.
So. Well, he had all that Halliburton money, so why not?
All right, well, is this a sweet spot to end this first pod on?
Was that a Holocaust denier statement? Like, yeah.
Which, by the way, Halliburton owes my company a bunch of money, so I just...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they don't pay their bills.
All right, well, thank you for listening to that awkward moment.
They did the Dick Cheney, though.
Yeah, Dick Cheney.
Yeah, that's how Dick Cheney stays rich.
Remember, just doesn't pay Dick Cheney, David Miscavige, and Nelson Mandela. There we go. All right, well, I am Matt. Thank you for tuning in.
I am Beezer. Thank you, Matt, for tuning in.
And I'm Roger. Thank you guys for tuning in, and I don't get that one.
All right, anyway.
Last word.